QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 22, 2015. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, and is available online by clicking on arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you ARRL Science and Skill in Service Report, a must-read. Mars exercise to simulate a coronal mass ejection. Amateurs invited to participate. New Ohio ECs learn from veterans at Aries Leadership Conference. FEMA's Lessons Learned Information Sharing Program. Central Florida Aries Group supports Large Bicycle Festival. Hail, fire, smoke, and snow challenge communicators supporting Yellowstone Bike Tour. Putting contesting to work for your public service team. What you are not. Aries Go Kit Exhibition and Competition held in South Carolina. Winlink team tests innovations in Tennessee EMA Oxcom exercise. And, of course, K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Now here are the stories. ARRL Science and Skill in Service Report, a must-read. The 2015 ARRL publication, Amateur Radio, Science and Skill in Service to Your Community, is directed at lawmakers at all levels to advocate amateur radio. It is also a good read for the Aries community. The 12-page report provides a summary of major Aries and other groups' operations for incidents and events throughout the regions of the country over the past couple of years. A product of the League's regulatory and advocacy staff, the report shows graphically how amateur radio has benefited the United States through public service, disaster response, and partnering with other served agencies. The report will lend even the most grizzled veteran operator pride in what we all do. You may read the report by going to ARRL.org and search for Science and Skill Report. Mars exercise to simulate a coronal mass ejection. Amateurs invited to participate. Beginning the week of November 8, 2015, the Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, will participate in a quarterly contingency HF exercise in support of the Department of Defense. The exercise scenario will simulate a coronal mass ejection, or CME, event, and focus on actions that radio operators should take prior to and following such an event. Coronal mass ejections are huge bubbles of gas threaded with magnetic field lines that are ejected from the sun over the course of several hours. Coronal mass ejections disrupt the flow of the solar wind and produce disturbances that strike the Earth with sometimes catastrophic results. Training objectives for this exercise will include understanding what a CME is and how much forecast lead time can be expected prior to the CME. What effects are associated with a CME, and what precautions should radio operators take prior to the CME to protect equipment? Following the CME, operators will begin assessing the effects and begin reporting this information. Interoperability with amateur radio operators and groups. Amateur radio operators, Aries and RACES members are encouraged to participate in this exercise. If interested in participating, send an email to mars.exercises@gmail.com to register. Thanks to Paul English, who is the NETCOM LAND Mobile Radio Manager for the Army MARS program, for this submission. New Ohio ECs learn from veterans at Ares Leadership Conference. 20 new members of the ARRL Ohio Section Ares Leadership Team spent a day learning from senior leaders about their new responsibilities. The class was conducted at the Franklin County Emergency Management Office in Columbus, Ohio. New County Emergency Coordinators, or ECs, and Assistant ECs heard from Ohio Section Manager Scott Yonely, N8SY, Section Emergency Coordinator Stan Broadway, N8BHL, Northeast Ohio District 10 EC Eric Jensen, N8AUC, and Dayton Area District 3 EC Robert Rhodes, KC8WHK. When a new EC is appointed, the appointee receives a manual from ARRL headquarters covering their new responsibilities in leading a county ARES program. SEC Broadway explained, "We wanted to supplement the ARRL training materials with a conversational learning environment where we could put real life into their understanding of their leadership tasks. Speakers at the day-long session brought considerable credentials, experience, and expertise to the podium." Section Manager Yonely had just returned from a week of training at ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, where he was presented with training and information on field organization and ARES policies and procedures. He related this knowledge and lessons he has learned through personal experience to the group. SEC Broadway discussed how to establish and maintain a solid working relationship with the EMA director and other served agency leaders. Mr. Jensen advised, "Never write a check they can't cash," which resonated with the group. Other discussion ranged from the importance of presenting a professional image and what it takes to be accepted into the inner circle of leaders at an EMA office. Mr. Rhodes brought to the session his wealth of experience in building exercises, describing the different types of exercises, and what goes into creating a proper Master Scenario Events List, or MESL. Mr. Broadway also discussed emergency planning with the attendees, outlining the Ohio Section Emergency Response Plan, or OSERP, and how it can be adapted to specific county situations and needs. ECs were advised to talk with their EMA directors about what Mr. Broadway calls the 10 Worst Headaches list, an outline of potential problems with the ARES-EMA relationship and possible solutions. The goal is a good working relationship, leading to the overall integration of ARES as a valid emergency resource. One of the top concerns for many county ARES programs is retention, keeping volunteers interested and active. Toward this goal, Mr. Broadway suggested holding training sessions conducted by instructors, officials from county-served agencies, covering topics such as Light Search and Rescue, or SAR, First Aid, CPR, Anti-Terrorism, Damage Assessment, Red Cross Shelter Operations, the CERT program, and Evolving Data Modes. Attendees received the session enthusiastically, with their post-session evaluation form comments affirming their interest in putting lessons learned into practice back at their home county ARES programs. Thanks to Ohio Section Emergency Coordinator Stan Broadway, N8BHL, for this report. We'll pause now for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is the ARRL ARES Audio E-Letter for October 22, 2015. We'll continue with more ARES E-Letter news in just a few minutes. But first, we wish to thank Bob Martin, KC3FI, for distributing the ARRL Audio E-Letter to the visually impaired HAM's email list. We also want to thank John Elgin, WA3MNN, and John Creel, WB3GXW, for transmitting the ARRL audio e-letter every month on the 147.225 MHz repeater in Silver Spring, Maryland. Please let us know if your repeater is airing the audio version of the ARRL e-letter, or if you're listening on the Internet, by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club, or if you're listening on your smartphone. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Now back to the news. FEMA's Lessons Learned Information Sharing Program. The Lessons Learned Information Sharing, or LLIS, program is part of FEMA's National Preparedness Assessment Division, NPAD. The LLIS program supports its mission by developing and disseminating lessons learned, innovative practices, and other related content for improvement throughout the whole community. For example, there's a report on an LLIS page under the heading Innovative Practices titled Amateur Radio Volunteers Protect Community Water Supply. The report, which is dated October 7, 2014, presented how federal preparedness grants support Colorado's structured partnership with ARES, which assists in establishing and maintaining emergency communications during disasters. Here's an excerpt from the report. In 2013, Colorado experienced historic rainfall and flooding. As part of the response effort, 150 ARES volunteers in Colorado's northeast region deployed to assist. When floodwater threatened the electronic controls of a wastewater facility serving a community of 80,000 people, ARES established a microwave network using two grant-funded repeaters and took remote control of the plant. ARES maintained control of the facility for 4 months, preventing any wastewater from spilling into the floodwater. Central Florida ARES Group supports large bicycle festival. The Lake Amateur Radio Association, or LARA, activated ARES of Lake County, Florida, in support of the 41st Annual Mount Dora Bicycle Festival in Mount Dora, Florida, from October 9th through October 11th, 2015. Operators provided radio communications from each rest area, as well as from mobile radio units patrolling the various bicycle routes. Lake County has 1,400 named lakes and is considered Florida's hill country. Some hills offer a challenge for even the most experienced bicycle riders. This year, 1,325 cyclists signed up to ride in the festival. Radio-equipped vehicles, operated by radio amateurs, transported a total of 30 bicycle riders and their bicycles back to the starting area over the 3-day event for mechanical breakdowns and medical issues. 5 medical emergencies were managed. 1 rider required evacuation to the hospital with a broken collarbone. 16 situations in total required the intervention of the amateur radio mobile vehicles. The Lake County ARES Group used a repeater to run the net, keeping track of rest area locations and mobile radio units. NCS operators used the call sign N4FLA and assigned all field operators tactical signs. Lake County ARES and LARA have been providing on-course radio communications for the event for almost 25 years. This year, 25 amateur radio operators volunteered their time and equipment to ensure the public safety and garner experience for emergency and disaster response. Thanks to Ted Lubers, K1AYZ, the Lake County ARES Public Information Officer, for this report. Hail, fire, smoke, and snow challenge communicators supporting the Yellowstone Bike Tour. On August 22, 2015, 350 bicyclists and more than 200 support crew covered a 500-mile, 7-day bike tour of Yellowstone National Park. A hailstorm on day two blanketed the base camp, and a snowstorm on day three stranded 55 bikers at the 11,000-foot level. Adding to these challenges were grizzly bears, wild land fires and smoke, and ice-covered tents. Adding another insult was a communications collapse during a 24-hour period midweek, resulting in no cell phone coverage, no internet access, and no landline phone coverage. This was the third year of the Cycle Greater Yellowstone Bike Tour event, with radio amateurs supporting it for all 3 years. The ride features a different area around Yellowstone National Park each year. This exposes riders to new views of the Yellowstone National Park ecosystem. This year's event brought several firsts to the local amateur radio community. It was the first time that amateurs from 4 different radio clubs, separated by hundreds of miles, have worked together. The week was physically and mentally exhausting, with no downtime for the 34 amateurs. Riders were on the road each day from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m., but the operators started earlier and didn't stop working until after 10 p.m. each night. Riders were in the wilderness areas on days 3 and 4. Amateur radio was the only communication service for them to get messages in and out of camps. This added stress to operators because messages were critically important about health and welfare, weather updates on incoming storms, and queries to local hospitals on conditions of injured riders. Amateur radio operators evacuated at least one rider per day for hypothermia, dehydration, heart and lung issues, and accidents with cattle guards and other cyclists. Hams were assigned in all support and gear, or SAG, vans, and as shadows to 2 course directors and course monitors, and at rest stops, the base camp, and sweep vehicles. Most tactical communications between ride vehicles on the course were handled on VHF and UHF simplex car-to-car, with simplex crossband repeaters set up each day with fixed mountaintop repeaters used for more distance needs. A team of home-based net control stations monitored communications 14 to 16 hours each day on VHF repeaters and HF radios as listening posts to provide assistance and backup communications if needed. Thanks for this report from the Yellowstone County, Montana Emergency Coordinator, Ron Glass, WN7Y. We'll pause for a few seconds now to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 22, 2015. Putting contesting to work for your public service team. Ward Silver, N0AX in St. Charles, Missouri, reminds us, operating skill is not something that can be tested on a license exam or learned from a book. Emergency managers know that practice, and lots of it, is required for operators to be sharp when they are really needed. Repeating drill after drill can get old, but there are other enjoyable ways to give your equipment a good shakedown and build on-the-air know-how. Just as sports keep you physically fit, radio sport, or contesting, can serve as a training ground while having fun at the same time. First, you don't need a huge multi-tower station to participate. A comm trailer, or EOC, probably has everything you need for success, particularly if you choose the right contest. You can start simply with any of a number of regional FM simplex contests that encourage the use of mobile and handheld FM radios for an afternoon or evening. Just search the internet for FM simplex contest to find several. For example, in the St. Louis area, the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club sponsors an occasional zip code contest in which hams operate from home or a car and count the different zip codes as multipliers. Operation takes place on the usual simplex FM channels from 147.42 MHz to 147.56 MHz for 4 hours on a weekend evening. This is a great way to learn about squelch management, copying weak signals, using phonetics, and the effectiveness of good locations and antennas. No contest in your area? Work with the local clubs to start one. Instead of jumping into a big DX contest, try the domestic contests, such as the upcoming November sweepstakes or December's 10-meter contest. The low dipole you use for regional communications will work lots of stations, more than you might imagine. A multiband vertical will work great on 10 meters, or put up a temporary dipole for the weekend. In the future, check out the North American QSO parties with their easy name and state exchange and low power signals. Look up your own state's QSO party and activate your county or parish for hours of fun with callers chasing you for a change. If your club has VHF single sideband gear, there are regular VHF contests. If your team uses digital modes to exchange text and files, try a digital mode contest with RTTY and PSK keyboard-to-keyboard operating. Trying to pack an entire team into the shack can be counterproductive. A couple of people have a lot of fun, while the rest watch and get bored. If you have enough interest, divide your group into two- or three-person teams that operate in shifts with an experienced operator to mentor and guide and log. Better yet, put the teams at different stations and let them go head-to-head in a short challenge. No one says you have to operate the entire contest. Pick times that work, maybe about as long as your regular drills, and get together afterward for the usual hot wash, or maybe just a little storytelling session over pizza. A contest Elmer can help those new to contesting with scripts, guiding the operators through a QSO. Start each team of operators with a period of listening so they have some time to get up to speed. Show them how to tune in a single sideband signal, operate the necessary receiver controls, and the abbreviated style of calling and answering. Using paper log sheets can work at first, but you'll find that simple logging software, like that available from N3FJP, is easy and intuitive to learn. Let one operator talk and one operator log, then swap. Once your team gets up to speed, reinforce the reasons why we have contests in the first place. Accurate, effective operating. Place a special emphasis on getting call signs and exchanges 100% correct. Making a lot of contacts is good, but not at the expense of errors. Help operators make good use of primary radio controls to increase clarity on receive and transmit. Filters, RF gain, AGC, RIT, XIT, and others can make a surprising improvement in copying ability. Watch for teachable moments, such as unusual and changing propagation, small pileups of callers, confusing letters, and clean versus distorted signal audio. The hours will fly by, and when it's over, you'll have some operators anxious to try again. It's a good way to introduce non-hams to amateur radio, too. Why not invite a CERT or Skywarn volunteer to sit in and make a contact? And don't forget to submit a log, no matter how small, and watch for your team's call sign in the final results. You might even get lucky and win a certificate. Regardless of how many contacts you make, when interspersed with your regular drills and exercises, contesting offers a great change of pace while advancing everyone's abilities at little or no cost. See you in the pileups. Thanks, Ward, for this information. We'll be watching for you in the upcoming contests. What you are not. The following is excerpted from the International Amateur Radio Union, or IARU, publication IARU Emergency Telecommunications Guide. It contains principles and concepts that are universal to all amateur radio and ARIES operators who are learning the culture of providing support via amateur radio. As important as what you are is what you are not. There are limits to your responsibilities as an emergency communicator, and it is important to know where to draw the line. You are not a first responder. Except in rare cases of chance, you will seldom be first on the scene. You do not need flashing lights and sirens, gold badges, or fancy uniforms. You have no authority. In most cases, you cannot make decisions for others, or make demands on the agency you serve, or any other agency. The only decisions you can make are whether to participate or not, and those affecting your health and safety. You are not in charge. You are there to temporarily fulfill the needs of an agency whose communication system is unable to completely do its job. They tell you what they need, and you do your best to comply. Aries Go Kit Exhibition and Competition, held in South Carolina. The third annual Aiken, South Carolina Aries Go Kit Exhibition and Contest was held on Saturday, October 17, 2015, at the Aiken County Administration Complex and was open to all radio amateurs. The demonstration and displays were conducted from 9:30 a.m. till noon. Amateurs without Go Kits were encouraged to attend to gain ideas for developing a Go Kit for themselves. Others with Go Kits were able to glean ideas for enhancing their kits. Points were awarded when the submitted Go Kits were made to work in field-like conditions at the exhibit. All entries in the contest were judged by a representative from the Aiken County Emergency Management Office and the Aiken County Aries Emergency Coordinator. The judges expected an entry to have at least an emergency power source, a transceiver with a mic, an antenna system, and basic personal safety and comfort items. Contestants had 3 minutes to present and talk about their Go Kit entry. The grand prize was a new handheld transceiver. This report was copied from the ARRL South Carolina section website. We'll pause for a few seconds for station identification. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for October 22, 2015. WinLink team tests innovations in Tennessee EMA AUXCOM exercise. The Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, or TEMA, held their fall AUXCOM exercise from October 1st through October 3rd. This major regional exercise, which is held semi-annually, involves joint participation by emergency communication professionals and AUXCOM volunteers. It is a model of interoperability between state, county, and National Guard professionals with amateur radio volunteers. WinLink, an amateur radio-based global email system that can be used when the internet is down, was used heavily during the exercise, both with communicating with external sites and for managing message flow at the incident command post. Exercise players responded to a simulated incident, coordinating response between the Central Incident Command Post located at the Tennessee Fire Academy in Bellbuckle and multiple sites in East and West Tennessee. Each site connected to a WinLink radio message server, known as RMS, within propagation range and deposited messages on a common message server, or CMS. CMS is the backbone of the WinLink store and forward system. This approach allowed each site to select an RMS that was easiest for them to connect to, rather than requiring a direct connection to the central site. By using the store and forward capability, messages could be exchanged between sites without requiring simultaneous operating times. WinLink, operating with shared resources, shares, was used for communication with the external sites. SHARES is a federal communication organization using HF radio for communication between federal agencies, state and county agencies, National Guard units, and non-government organizations, or NGOs, such as the American Red Cross and medical centers. SHARES uses federal radio frequencies that are outside the ham bands. WinLink was used extensively during the exercise, both for external and internal communication. Several new WinLink features were used and tested heavily: Network Post Office Server, Background Tasks, and Contact Entries Designating Post Office Servers. All features worked well with no reported problems. This exercise demonstrated the usefulness of WinLink operating over a mesh network with a network post office to facilitate message flow within an incident command post. The speed and reliability far exceeded what has been previously experienced using manual message transcription and hand delivery. We recommend that future exercises continue to use this system. Thanks to Phil Sherrod, W4PHS, and Steve Waterman, K4CJX, for this report. And finally, we have for you K1CE for a final. It's ARRL Simulated Emergency Test season, and we wish you the best for success on your SET this year. Please send any reports on especially innovative practices resulting from your SET activity to your ARES e-letter editor, k1ce@arrl.net. That's k1ce@arrl.net. And we will publish some of the best ones for the benefit of all readers. Thanks, and 73, Rick Palm, K1CE. And that's the ARRL ARES audio e-letter for October 22, 2015. The ARRL ARES audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL ARES audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL ARES e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. Thanks to this month's ARRL ARES email contributors. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. And my audio e-letter script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. Copyright 2015 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.